the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, about a week ago we mentioned there have been several books written about Christ in the tabernacle, and whether it be the wilderness tabernacle or whether it be the water from the rock or King David, the Good Shepherd, or Solomon, the wisest man in the world, every page of the Word of God points to Jesus, the Savior. And Bert, in just a couple of weeks, the world will celebrate just one of the greatest blessings, that empty tomb, how that Christ arose that we might have salvation. It's the good news for every generation, isn't it?
Amen. Why are you searching for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, and he is risen indeed. We will celebrate that. Matter of fact, I think we ought to celebrate it every day, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for those that know him because, what? The resurrection. Philippians chapter 2 says, because Jesus did this and came to earth, went to the cross and died, God's given him a name that's above every name. And so that is the highest name there is on earth. His name is Jesus. So we want to celebrate Amen. Him. Alex, I want to say also, this week is a big week for AFR. It's Share-a-thon Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll preempt the Bible study. We're going to get to it in a minute because we won't be able to do it the rest of the week thoroughly. We'll mention Exodus, but not do a Bible study like we usually do. And we're looking forward to that. So people start praying. On Wednesday, we're going to have a special guest. We're going to have a trio of us. We'll let the folks know. I'll let them wonder and who it could be. But we're going to have a very special guest returning for, AFR, a program he used to have. That may limit it and be four or five. Who could it be? Well, Wednesday, you'll find out. So we want folks to tune in for Share-a-thon the next 3 days after today, Alex.
Amen. Amen. And please be in prayer. This great ministry God is using, and we give God all the glory, but the Lord is using the American Family Radio Network to tell millions of people every day about the gospel and the biblical worldview. And we often say it this way, but it's really true. People are coming to Christ. People are coming back to Christ.
Amen.
And the Word of God is going forth. Well, Bert, we've been in Exodus, and last week, by the way, we had a great Fireaway Friday, a lot of really, really good questions. But we've been talking about the temple and the garments and just the goings-on, the robes of the priests. And the beautiful thing about it, that they were consecrated and set apart as priests. And I'm just going to say this, too. When Jesus, our high priest, went to the cross, fulfilled all the law, not only paid for the guilt of humanity, fulfill the prescriptions of God's holy law, everything necessary for you and I to be declared righteous simply through faith. Bert, have you ever thought that as burdensome as it was to go through the ritualistic law of Moses in anticipation of the Savior that would one day come, I've often thought you would think people would gratefully say, yes, Lord, we believe, and all we have to do is put our faith in you, no more sacrifices, no more rituals, no more multiple trips to the temple that will have to be repeated endlessly, but it is finished, final, paid in full. Yes, Lord, we receive that.
Amen, Alex. I've often wondered, when I've read through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, again, what hits me is just what you said. Would I have remembered all these, as bad as I am? I'm a generalist now. People are detailed. I admit I'm not in that category. It can go over my head. Praise God for him being the perfect sacrifice. and setting us free from that ritualistic law. And Alex, she was talking about the high priest and his garments, and then the consecration. Sometimes things slip by, and that's the reason you read the Bible again and again and again. Have you noticed that there's seven pieces of clothing in the high priest and their garments? Seven pieces of clothing.
Yes.
And then in the consecration of the high priest, there were seven stages of the consecration. In other words, there's that word number again. People are always wondering, what's significant of numbers? Well, there are some numbers that are very significant, and seven is one of those. And so there's seven clothing garments. Let me list them really quickly. The undergarment, the white inner robe, the blue robe that goes outside, the ephod, the waist that holds it together. We'd call it a girdle. The breastplate where the stones were, and the turban that he would wear. Now, again, this is seven. And each one of them, God gives specific instructions. And the penalty, if you did not, if the high priest did not wear these, all seven, have them on correctly when it was supposed to, Alex, it was a dangerous thing to do it in a wrong way, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, because they had to, for one thing, they had to receive the ritual, if you will, for atonement, but then they had to be consecrated or set apart for the priestly work, and they had to do it God's way, by God's prescription. And, you know, we have to as well. I mean, let me put it this way. The path of salvation is not service. The path of service begins with salvation, you know? I mean, you don't get right with God by works. It's by Christ's work received through faith. So, and seven, of course, is the number of divine perfection. Seven pieces of the priestly garment, seven steps in being sanctified or consecrated, means set apart. And, you know, there's a lot in the Christian life, Bert, not to digress, but there's a lot in the Christian life that is consecrated or set apart.
Yeah.
That's why we have, in the church building, we have that sanctuary, the worship space, the sacred space set apart for the worship and the proclamation of God's word. I believe if you're a born-again Christian, your heart is set apart for Christ, your loyalties, your priorities, your mind, you know? Just like I gave this analogy Friday, you buy a piece of property, but you don't leave it that way. You clean it up and fix it up, and God purchases us with his blood, but we get progressively more Christ-like, and our mind has to be cleaned up and swept pure and filled with pure things. And so consecration, Bert, would it be fair to say, even as a Christian, our time and blocks of our week are consecrated and set apart for Christ's use? We could push that analogy to so many areas of the Christian's life that are consecrated unto the Savior.
Right. When it comes to the garments, we've been washed white as snow. When we get to heaven, we're going to have those white robes. Hallelujah. So the robes, that I just, each one of them had their own way, the purpose, the coloring of them, and it was detailed from the pomegranates as they would be detailed on the bottom of the robe and the bells that would be ringing. Each one of them was detailed. And then the seven stages or steps in consecration, let me give them to you because this is awesome. First, they would be washed. Second, they'd receive the clothing. Then they would be anointed. Then they would go through the process of offering, which is forgiveness. Then they would dedicate unto themselves. And then they were marked with the blood on the, let me see, the earlobe, upon the right thumb, and the right earlobe, by the way, and the right big toe. And the earlobe is that he would hear from God, the thumb that he would do the things of God, and the toe that they would walk in his steps. In other words, there needs to be consistency. And finally, they would feed upon the food that God had prescribed for them. So each one of these are detailed. The garments are detailed. The consecration steps are detailed. And again, Jesus came what? To fulfill the law. And he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. But at the same time, each one of those, as you said, Alex, we can see the ministry of Jesus Christ. One more thing I want to say about chapters 28 and 29. And I know you can kind of, if you're not careful, you'll get, okay, the detail of the garments, the consecration. But if you can see Christ in them, I want to tell you, it makes it alive. But I did notice this. And you know I'm looking for repeated phrases or words.
Oh, yes.
To minister unto me is mentioned five times in chapters 28 and 29. Now, it will also be said later, but in these two chapters, in chapter 28, verse 1, verse 3, verse 41, chapters 29, verse 1, and verse 44, it talks about that they might minister unto me. Now, if we're not careful, we'll think the priests are ministering to the people, offering the sacrifices. But notice, God puts it exactly right. When you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And these ministers, although they're bringing the sacrifices, they're bringing their petitions to the Lord, ministering for the people, it's a ministry unto me, God says. So that, does that not bring that scripture life? If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Well, amen. Amen. And in 28 and 29, I want to encourage people to read that. It is fascinating. You were talking about the seven pieces of garment and seven steps. And there's, if you look at 29, 35 through 37, 7 days of consecration. You know, offer every day a bullock for a sin offering.
That's right.
For atonement. And verse 37, 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. So we see seven over and over. Now, let me just say this. As a born-again believer, we're a kingdom of priests, and we don't have these outward rituals, but we have the inward reality. And if you read Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, there are really seven pieces of the believer's covering and armament in that. And of course, the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me say this, Bert. In Christ, we are complete.
Amen. That was my
Perfection.
Thoughts, Alex. Perfect.
Yes.
Amen. Go right ahead. I just had to interrupt and say amen, brother.
And the word perfection is just of God. I'm not saying that we're perfect, certainly not in and of ourselves. But in Christ, we are declared righteous. And that's why Colossians 1 would say we are complete in Christ. Now, humanly, you might have fear and, second guess yourself. But, Bert, I think we have to view our identity from what God's Word says about our identity, don't you?
Amen, Alex. We have everything we need for life and godliness in this present world. The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that He brings into our life. Listen, it is everything we need as we depend upon Him, as we walk with Him. And we're going to look at this. We're just kind of looking over 28 and 29. We'll get to one or two particulars, but the one I want to share is in verse 45, He'll dwell among His children. We'll be back with more. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue five babies.
Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Amen. More of God, less of me. I think there was a guy named John the Baptist that said something about God must increase and he must decrease. I pray that's happening in your life as you grow in Christ. We're in Exodus and we want to look at three verses. This is in chapter 29. Again, 28 and 29 sets up most of what the priest were to wear, and then the setting them apart, consecration, sanctifying them, and it's seven steps, and again, the 7 days, it's already there. But verses 44, 45, and 46, as this kind of climaxes, this section says, "So I will sanctify the tabernacle of meeting." I love that. It's got several names, but the tabernacle of meeting, I love that. And the altar, I will also sanctify both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. There's the phrase again, minister to me. I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may do what? Dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Alex, when I read those three verses, I've got them highlighted, underlined in my Bible that I use here for exploring the Word. They're just powerful. Sanctify. Yes, we're set apart. We are to they were to minister to the Lord. And God was going to do what? Dwell among his people.
Amen.
That is powerful thought that God, the perfect God, was going to come down and dwell among his people.
Well, you know, I just heard from a listener this morning who was talking about being lonely and not feeling like he really had that many people in the world that cared about his life. And this listener, I was reminding, like you're just saying, Bert, how God wants to dwell with us. You look at verse 46 of 29, and God speaks of dwelling with his people. He is the Lord their God. And then in chapter 30, there's very specific instructions about the altar of incense. And of course, you know, in the book of Revelation, we know that the prayers of the saints are like an incense or an aroma that goes up to God. But verse 6 of chapter 30, "And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee again." God wants to meet with us. And just like the incense was pictorial of all of our prayers, and this altar of incense is right there beside this veil or this curtain, on the other side of which is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat where the sacrifice would be consumed. Now, here's my point. When Christ was on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. So the incense of our prayers are right where God can hear them. I know this is, you might have to imagine this, you know, folks. Behind this curtain, the Holy of Holies, where is the mercy seat that our sins are propitiated for, the turning away of wrath, the atoning for sin. Bert, I didn't get to it on Friday, but 103 times in the Bible is the word atonement, that our guilt was paid for, and we're made right with God. And the altar of incense, which represents prayers, the veil is torn in Christ, and your prayers are as close by to the Lord as could possibly be. He hears us. He cares about us, doesn't he, Bert?
He really does. And verse 6, and then it's so powerful, "I'll meet with you." Then verse, I know it's 7, but then look at verse 8. There's some information here. I think that we'll relate it to God's promises in the New Testament. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it. Now listen to this. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. This is continual, perpetual. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And the whole idea is our prayers going up. And many times the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't know exactly what to pray for. And I've been there. Lord, I don't know exactly what to pray for. I see what it's ahead. I don't know what's ahead. And so God, through his power of the Holy Spirit, with these incense going up, telling us of, and their incense of prayers and praise. Now, Alex, when you look at the Lord's model prayer that, you know, you can look at it in the New Testament, you find out there's that confession of sin, yes, but there's also that calling upon the Lord to meet our needs, to help others in their needs. So we find out this perpetual incense before the Lord, and then it ends throughout your generations. God desires us to hand the spiritual baton off from one generation to the other, and we're to share that. And as I look at this, and you know, I'm always looking. You say I'm looking for repeated words or phrases, but I'm also looking out for. You see the mission here? Does it come across to you throughout your generations? Now, God's going to be faithful throughout all generations. We need to be faithful in our generation and hand it off to the next generation as well, don't we?
We do, Bert. That's one of the most important functions of the church in any generation, is to always be passing the gospel off to the next group. And so there was a lot there. Not only the altar and verse 10, Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of the altar once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. So there are all the spiritual and functional ramifications of the tabernacle. But then there's an offering. The Lord told Moses to have the people give this sum of money, a half a shekel, and everyone that passes among them are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. Bert, I looked, verse 15, the rich will not have to give more, the poor shall not give less, but half a shekel. Now, I looked up, at this point, that would be half of 26 cents, so 13 cents. And I realize for the vast majority of people, that would not be hard. For some, though, in that day, that would really be work. But they're to give half a shekel, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Bert, it's worthwhile. In fact, I would say it's biblical. Even now, to make wise arrangement, giving of tithes and offerings, budgeting it, using it. I mean, even here back in the Old Testament, they were responsibly handling the offerings for, as verse 16 says, the service of the tabernacle for the congregation. We do that even yet, don't we?
We really do. And you see this because it is for everyone. It wasn't for a select few. The priest in their service was selected. And it was just God's sovereign grace that they were selected. They sure weren't deserving, just like we're not deserving of God's salvation. It was because of his mercy and grace toward us. And here, but these, all the tribes, no matter what you were from, you would receive benefit from the tabernacle and the service of the priest. And so here it was, this sacrificial gift that they were to make. And yes, it was sacrificial for more than it was for others. But let me say this, the whole idea here is the covering, the atonement. And every time you've mentioned it, how many times? 150 times? Is that?
103.
103 times. Atonement, a covering. And it was waiting for the washing. And speaking of the washing and the cleansing, we come to verse 17. We talked about the altar of incense. We've talked about the other the furnishings or furniture, you can call it what you would, in the temple. But here is the laver of bronze in verse 17. Listen to verse 18. You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and in the altar, and you shall put water in it. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it when they go into the tabernacle of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands, their feet, lest they die, and it shall be a statue forever for them, to him and his descendants. And here it is again, throughout their generations. Now, Alex, when I saw this, you know, washing their feet, now what had happened earlier in the first stage of cleansing the priest in chapter 29, verse 4, it was their whole body. That was the one time. And now it is their hands and their feet there to wash. I could not help but remember at the Last Supper, when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet, and Peter said, "Wash me all over." And what God, I think this is a picture. Yes, God has cleansed us at one time, but we're to confess our sin as, you know, as we go, as we work, we're to confess that. And we don't have to be saved again, but we need to keep our confession fresh, Alex. We don't need to let sin go down on our wrath. Go down on a wrath. We don't need to let sin remain and take root in our lives. You know, that cleansing, I know it was the priest, but it has a lot to do with us as we now have access to the Father. Am I making any sense from this to you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, all of the, I know it sounds in detail, but all of these, the furniture of the temple, And the rituals associated therewith are pictorial of our relationship with God. And the brass laver or basin, if you will, you know, a vessel whereby Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and their feet, verse 19, washing speaks of cleansing before God. But Bert, it right after that, from 22 to 33, goes into the holy anointing oil. And Bert, you just rein me in if I get too allegorical here. But look, salvation in Jesus, put your faith in Jesus to be born again, you're forgiven. And that the New Testament and Old Testament routinely talks about being washed clean, purged, cleansed. But then, at the moment of salvation, there's not just the washing away of sin, but there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And there are spiritual gifts and abilities. So after the brass laver, the basin of water whereby there is cleansing, then there's the anointing of oil, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, and this verse 24, C-A-S-S-I-A, that's really kind of a mint bark that was ground up to be kind of a mint, I don't know if it's like mentholyptus or eucalyptus, like is in some kind of rubs, but it's very fragrant. And they put in there, here's my point. There's all this, verse 25 says, make an ointment of oil like the after the art of the apothecary, or that's a pharmacist or a perfumer, right? Now, there's not just the olive oil, but there's all these spices that bring out different aromas. And, Bert, when the very same Holy Spirit indwells all believers, and yet that very same Holy Spirit brings out fragrances in our life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and supernatural giftings, strengths, abilities, competencies for the serving of the body of Christ. Bert, here's where I give you permission to rein me in if I'm being a little too spiritualized. But all of these spices that are listed to bring out the different fragrances of that anointing oil, in a way, I almost feel like that's the spiritual gifts Amen. That become operative in the lives of the believers, indwelt, empowered by God's Holy Spirit.
I'd not only agree with you, I'd add to it. I think it talks in representative of the church, how that they all work together as one. Amen. They came in one accord. And when you look at the teachers that were in Antioch, and you see their names, and you can see, man, that sounds like a Gentile name. That sounds like this name. They were. And God brings this. This is a picture, I believe with all my heart, of the power of the Holy Spirit in an individual, but also in a collective, a group of those. And Alex, I think you're right on. I don't think you're stretching it at all. With us finishing chapter 30 today, the incense is next. And again, it's the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And again, prayers unto the Lord. So what you have, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil in verses 22 to 33, and the power of prayer from 34 all the way through 38. When you combine that with the Word of God, I want to tell you, you're ready to serve the Lord with gladness. Well, Alex and I are so glad you're with us today, and we're going to take questions in the next segment. That number, 888-589-8840.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
Back to Exploring the Word. It is a great day to be in the Word of God, reading the Bible. It's a great day to pick up the phone and ask some Bible questions. And Bert and Alex here, we would love to hear from you. The number, if you've got a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840. Okay, listen to this, 888-589-8840. And if you've got a Bible question, we'll do our best to give you a good factual answer. We enjoy that, don't we, Bert?
We really do. And matter of fact, lines are open, but man, went quick as I say that, they start filling up. By the way, real quickly, before we go to Angela in Arkansas that Alex put on in just a moment, we had some people come by today, and they're taking the tour, and they're staying over for Share-a-thon. They're going to help answer those phones, and we're so excited about them. But Alex, I just want to tell you, they love Exploring the Word, and they just said, man, we enjoy Bert and Alex, your camaraderie with one another and how you guys get along and your joy for the Lord. And so, Alex, it's not like they're bragging, but we're rejoicing that God would use people like us. It's a privilege,
Indeed.
Isn't it?
Well, it really is.
Hey, the lines are full now. I say we got lines open. We don't have any now, Alex.
Well, we're gonna start our day in Arkansas, and we'll visit with Angela. Welcome to Exploring the Word, Angela.
Hi. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all very, very much. I'm in a Bible study on the book of Revelation. And my question is Revelation 21, verse 1, when it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm trying to discern what heaven actually means, because I know sometimes It could be like, I think, the skies, or it could actually be the heaven that God dwells in. And then my other question is, I've always just thought of I'll spend eternity with God in heaven, but will we be, I guess, on the new earth, and how will that all work?
Okay. Alex, let me say a word and then you complete this. When you talk about heaven, you know there's three. You have that, which is our atmosphere. And then you have, quote, I'm just going to use the word outer space. You see the stars and you see the planets. But then you have a third heaven, the abode of God. And so what we know, this it's going to be new, Angela. It's going to be new. And we're dwelling with him in this heaven, but there's even something better coming. Alex, let me just say, you've heard these eyes haven't seen anything yet. I don't think our description of heaven has described how good it's going to be with new heaven and a new earth. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't like Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now listen to this. It says, and there was no more sea, S-E-A. And Bert, as somebody who absolutely loves the water, loves the ocean, I used to wonder about that, but there'll be something even more beautiful, and that's the river of life. And Bert, let me say this. I know the caller didn't necessarily ask about it, but the oceans, as they now are really an after byproduct of the judgment of the flood of Noah, aren't they?
They really are. Is that, you know, it came up from the deep separation. It really is, and so the best is yet to come. What you have, Angela, you have this new heaven and new earth that God, I look at this earth, especially at some of the areas out west when I've seen the Smoky Mountains, some of the grandeur of the fall trees turn into the sea at certain times. Alex, just think how much better heaven's going to be. It's going to be beautiful.
Beyond description.
It really is.
God bless you. And by the way, folks, the book that we have coming out this fall, Bert and I, 100 Bible Questions on Prophecy in the End Times, we've got a fair amount in there about our eternal home,
Amen.
Which is heaven with Christ the dear Lord. We'll go to Texas. Danielle in Texas. Danielle, welcome.
Yes. Hi. Okay, so I have a question about what the Bible says about transubstantiation and Christ body and blood actually being his body and blood. I grew up Lutheran, and that's what the Lutherans believe, or at least that's what I was taught. And I know that Catholics also believe that, but we now attend a non-denominational church, and, you know, it's a symbol. So I'm just wondering, biblically, I know that God, Jesus says, this is my body and this is my blood. Do this as often as you know, to remember me. But is it the reason why I have a problem with the transubstantiation part is that it seems like every time you have communion, you're going to crucify Christ.
Okay.
And he only died once for all.
Danielle, thank you for that good question. Good question. Remember the words, remember. And today, even in, as we were studying Exodus, for a memorial, remembrance, God wants us to remember his death, doesn't he, Alex?
He does. And by the way, this is a good question. I don't know that we've had this question, or we haven't had it for a long time. Okay, Jesus said, you know, take, eat, this body is my, wine is my blood shed for the remission of sins. This bread represents my body broken for you. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 20, 17 through 32, I would encourage people to read that. So a lot comes down to the wording there. And let me just say this. In the early church, there's not a lot about how they understood the Lord's Supper. We really don't see what we would call transubstantiation until the year 1215. There was something called the Fourth Lateran Council, and they said that the Eucharist, the elements, become the body and blood of Jesus, and that was reaffirmed in the 1500s. Now, this is worth talking about, folks. Transubstantiation implies that the elements of communion are transformed into the body of Christ. Now, during the time of the Reformation, a lot of the reformers tried to figure this out, and they came up with the idea called consubstantiation. Yep. And the prefix con, C-O-N, means with or upon. And I'm going to put it this way, and I know we've got many other calls. Bert, somehow the Holy Spirit is working in the believers and in those elements as we commemorate the Lord's Supper. I do not believe it turns into the literal flesh and blood of Jesus, because that was accomplished on Calvary's cross. Bert, as I read 1 Corinthians 11:24-25, I see Jesus, and this is the words of Christ. He says, do this in remembrance of me.
Right.
Isn't it a memorial, a very powerful, life-changing thing to remember? And for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. So I really don't think that transubstantiation, as it's been traditionally understood, can be supported biblically.
But I agree with you fully. Alex, let me throw this in. When you read John chapter 6, and Jesus had the multitudes following him, and Jesus really wasn't impressed with crowds. I know that's a pretty big statement, but, you know, he knew some of them were there for different reasons. So he says this. Listen to it in John 6:54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, again, he wasn't talking about cannibalism. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the completely being satisfied with him. You've got to be satisfied with who he is, his person, his plans, his purpose in life. And then we find out he wasn't talking about that. I think that does speak to what we're talking about here. It's not transubstantiation. It is that idea of remembering the Lord's death till he comes. That's the whole idea. And Danielle, I hope that helps. And I hope it helps a lot of people that may have been brought up in that element of teaching about transubstantiation. Alex, good word, brother.
I know we got to move on, but whenever I lead in communion, I focus a lot on verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, that we should examine ourselves, and we take it very seriously what he did for us. And before we take those elements of communion, the bread and the juice or the wine, I think it's very convicting to search our heart and do some business with the Lord before we take those elements. Don't you think,
Bert? I agree with you fully. Amen. Good word, Alex. Thank you, Danielle.
Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Hi. Hey, listen, I was at the dentist the other day, and we just talked about everything, but he asked me how we got 7 days in a week, and the only thing my mind could come up with is 6 days that God made everything, and on the seventh day he rests. And so I thought maybe you'd have a better answer than me. I'll just hang up and listen.
Mary, you started out real good. Alex, that's where it comes from. Origination, right?
Well, Genesis 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work and he rested. And from time immemorial, it's been that way, hasn't it, Bert?
It really has. And again, the idea of seven, there it is again. The idea of six, the idea of seven, these are important numbers. But that is a week. And when you see and how it works out during the year, how you see it works around the revolution of the earth around the sun, and you see that God set the seasons, you know, the whole idea, the tilting of the axis. When you see this perfect, and when I use the word perfect, I don't mean without sin, because this earth has issues, but when you see the perfect position of the earth to sustain life, not too big, not too small, the right distance from the sun, one moon rather than two, so you'd have the movement of the tide. The whole idea, you see this planet that God has put us upon in 7 days, it really is makes sense, Alex, when you look at it, and God set it forth in the book of Genesis, didn't he?
Indeed, he did. And every day is a gift, and every week is a gift as well. And every day we get to go to church and worship the Lord, what a gift that is too. Tracy in Mississippi. Tracy, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, you're welcome. And first, I want to say, before I say anything, keep up good work. You know,
our
words can be encouraging, or our words can be discouraging. I try to say encouraging words to people.
Keep it up, Tracy.
yes, sir. Thank you. I guess I got a two-part question, and it's been weighing on me pretty much. Bible says to give you 10%, but I thought in the New Testament the Lord said give what you promised in your heart. Number two, the Bible says owe no man, and I'm in debt, and I'm in a situation where I can't pay it, and I want to please the Lord, you know. And now, you know, I feel like a thief and a liar because I can't pay these bills.
Okay, Tracy. Mm-hmm. First of all, everybody write Tracy's name down and pray and ask God to meet a need that he has. God can do great things, even unexpectedly. I've seen him do it again and again. But, Alex, Jesus said these things you should have done and not left the others undone. And one of those things he said you should have done was tithe, wasn't it?
Yeah. And let me just say this. I grew up in a farming family, and we were deep in debt, and it – Bert, even when I was a little bitty boy, it just weighed on me when I found out that we were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And by the grace of God, we got it all paid off. It took us well into my adult years. But for one thing, sir, I want to say I'm sorry. And, you know, financial duress comes along, and it is not easy. I would tell you, God can help you out of this. And Bert, I'm going to say something, and you can feel free to disagree. I actually think, as a Christian, God is so faithful, and in tithing, we show that we trust him, and he is our source. Tithing is not really a financial issue, although I believe you can tithe your way to prosperity. I really do. And this is not using God as an ATM, but God is just so faithful that it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits, and your barns will be filled to overflowing. Now, Proverbs tells us that there's a lot of warnings about indebtedness. Romans 13:7, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to revenue, and honor to whom honor. So, Tracy, I'm going to be praying that you'll, with God's help, get out of the hole, and you can. And, Bert, I would suspect there's probably a fair amount of people listening with financial burdens. Make Jesus Lord, live your life his way, honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, and he will prosper you to eventually get out of that hole. I truly believe it.
Pray for Tracy. We're praying for a miracle. Christopher, sorry we couldn't get to you. Listen, know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Make sure there's been a time in your life when you said, Lord, I can't save myself. I know you died on the cross for me. I am trusting you and you alone. There's no other way that I can have salvation. You're the one that I trust. I pray you do that, Christopher. We're going to pray for you that. Thank you for listening, all of you, to Exploring the Word. Share-a-thon, we start in the morning at 6 o'clock. Be listening. I'll be ready to kick it off as we share-a-thon, the Spring Edition 2025.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.